Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. I love the Lord my God. He is true to his people. He come to us with his wisdom, giving us his answers. At times we really need him to. He loves us, and I love him. It's all about his love. Today I'm reminded about what motivated me to serve God. Sometimes we don't know what we can do in him. Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He said he knows how to be abased and he knows how to abound. Now there's two extremes of circumstances. If some people don't know how to be abased, they're used to people regarding them highly. And when they're in situations where people don't regard them highly, they don't know how to handle it. And then also, when people don't have enough to do what they need to do, they don't know how to get to the point they need to get. They're used to having everything in order. They're used to having enough money, and they just pay the bill. But, and some people are not used to having money. They're not used to having enough. And people that have survived without having much, they get pretty good at it. And they have good survival skills. But the problem is they don't expect to increase. Now, Apostle Paul said that he knew how to be abased and he knew how to abound. Now let's think about Paul's life for a moment. He was a Pharisee. Pharisees are highly regarded in Israel. And they used to like to make long prayers, and they liked attention and everything that goes with it. And people regarded them. They moved out of their way. They waited on them. You know, they treated them like little kings. But all of a sudden, he on the road of Damascus, he meets Jesus. And when he gets knocked down, he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Now, once that happened, Paul's life was abased in one way, and it was increased in a better way. Socially, he was abased because the Christians didn't trust him because he was on his way to persecute Christians. The Lord sent him to Ananias. Ananias prayed for him. Now he's a Christian. He wants to learn of Christ. He goes around the apostles, and nobody trusts him, so he had to leave. Also, he made enemies with because he now loves Jesus and preached Christ. The Pharisees hate him. Now they want to kill him. So he leaves Jerusalem with no friends. Nobody but Ananias trusted him. And unless people dealt with the Lord, whoever the Lord dealt with, trusted him, I'm sure. But anyway, he left. The majority of people didn't like him, and one of them did. So he went to the deserts of Arabia. He learned how to be abased. And the Lord taught him, according to Galatians. I think chapter 1 or 2, it talks about how he went to Arabia. And the Lord trained him. For 3 years, he was under the training of the Holy Spirit. Now, under the training of the Holy Spirit, whatever you lack can be generously supplied to you. Whether you need to learn how to be abased, or whether you need to learn how to abound, or even both. Now, last website broadcast, we talked about when the Lord calls you to the ministry. You have to learn to believe in what God has called you to do, and you have to see yourself able to do it, especially when you're anointed. Whatever God anoint you to do, you have his ability to do it, or at least begin it. And as you're faithful, the anointing continues. Now, and the Lord will give you instructions so that you can go forward. And I found a scripture I was going to read last time. This is Jeremiah 2, verse 17. I'm going to look at Jeremiah Jeremiah 1:17. Here we go. Verse 8 says, the Lord told him, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Because he sent him to kings and leaders of different nations. Over in verse 17, he skips down to 17, he said, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them." Now it's important, it became important for the Lord to get Jeremiah to the point where he had enough vision to start doing what he said do. He gave him instructions. Just like the Word of God, you have to mix your faith with it. You have to see yourself doing what God said. You have to believe that what he said you can do, you can perform. You have to believe in the work that he's done in your life. And whatever he trains you to do, not only can you do it, but you can do it well. Whatever you don't know, you can learn it well. We are adjustable. And Satan knows we're adjustable because he's trying to tempt us against what God is doing. Like we said in the last Heart to Heart broadcast, we said that he has to get you, in order for him to win, he has to get you to decide to not do God's work. And that's why the opposition comes. Now, preachers have said, they have preached, they think, they put all actions on God. They said, well, if something negative happened, they say, well, God's using that to teach me something. God's humbling me, so I won't be proud. And it's foolish to, you know, those are foolish things to say, but they really believe it, and they won't budge from it. If you want to be humble to God, you got to obey him. If you can choose to obey God, you are humble to him. God's definition of being humble is you obeying him because you love him and you love his word and you love his people. Acting weak is not humility. It's as stubborn as witchcraft. If you act like you're so weak and you're pitiful and you can't do anything, that's what the man did. Remember the three men that God gave a talent to? He gave five to one, he gave two to another, and he gave one talent to the man that was less efficient. But he had the ability to be to multiply that talent, but he chose not to. And the reason I say that is because he gave him one. His Lord didn't give him five because he was not a very dedicated person, but he was dedicated enough that the Lord saw fit to give him one. And the one who he gave five to went out and multiplied it, made 10. The one he gave two talents to, he multiplied his and came back with four. When the Lord came back, he had four. But the one who had one talent, he went and buried it in the earth and said, I knew you were an austere man, that you reap where you don't sow. And I didn't want to make you mad, so I just buried the talent and I'm going to give it back to you. He didn't do anything with what God gave him. All right. And what did the Lord do? He didn't say, oh, you're so pitiful. It's all right that you did. He said, take that and give it to the man that had 10. That'll make something out of it and cast him in out of darkness. Acting pitiful is not humility in God's eyes or my eyes. Acting pitiful that you can't do something, it's just as stubborn as witchcraft. See, stubbornness is the same as the sin of witchcraft. Saying that you're not going, that you can't do something and God is right there with you to help you, that's just not true. I mean, let's be honest. If you can do all things through Christ, and you love him, you love his word, you love his people, why not take what he gave you and use it? But preacher, a lot of things are not in place, okay? In my life, things are not in place. But the Lord taught me how to operate, to be resourceful with what I actually have right now. And by being faithful, I will increase. It's just the way it is. There are times that I need a lot more money, so I give more. And it works. I say, Lord, I need so much money, and I put more money. I give more money to ministries. And I do His work. And I pray for what I need, and it happens. You can learn how to be abased and be resourceful and operate on a little until you can increase and operate on more. We are adjustable. But Satan wants to get healed. He has a bag of tricks. And the way he get away with most of his deception, he always tried to fool the leaders. If he can get the leader, he can get a lot. He can get a lot of people because people follow leaders. It's in every walk of life, people follow the leaders. When the government wants to make change, they always target the leaders. There are people who, when they want to do something that's not done, they get the leaders on board. When politicians come to power, businessmen bribe the politicians so that the politicians will make it all right. They'll guide people in the wrong thing and they'll get to make money off of it. And sometimes they bribe them so that they can do the right thing. If you can get the leader, you can get a catch. If you can get one leader to get on board with you, you can change many destinies, good or bad. And the Lord taught me that principle. He said, I'm sending you to pastors. And then He put me in a situation where I was able to teach the people. And I learned the hard truth. No matter what I said, no matter how good it was, no matter how much it was from God, the people obeyed their pastor because that's who they were looking to. They obeyed him to the positive and also to the negative. And I've seen it so many ways, and I know it won't do any good to go preach at a church if the pastor's not on board. I'm saying if God is giving you if he's giving you a message that requires more vision, like what He gave me about how to follow God. If the pastor won't follow God, the people are not going to follow Him either. So that's just the way it is. Now, God has to work. He's going to get His work done because He wants to win souls. But He's not going to anoint compromised pastors and preachers to do His work. Not to do what He's getting to. He's going to find people that will be true. And He told me this a long time ago. Back in the early 90s, he told me that if the pastors wouldn't get on board with him and willingly obey him and follow him, he's going to raise people up in the streets. He'll save them and they'll obey him, and he'll put them on board and train. And that's exactly what Jesus said in that parable, that many people were in the field working all the while, and at the last hour he went and found people standing around the storefront. And he said, why are you standing here? Go and do my work. And they go reap my field. And they went and reaped his field. And then he came back all of a sudden. And he paid everybody equally in that parable. And the ones that was working all day in the heat of the day, they were mad because they got the same amount. The men that just came, they got the equal pay. And he said, Lord said, why are you upset with me? I have a right to do what I will with my own. He's going to raise up people that may not feel that they deserve it. But remember, none of us deserve the anointing that God has given us. It is a gift. You cannot earn the anointing. Once He anoints you, all you can do, if you love God, is obey Him in love. And that anointing will do what it's supposed to do. Be faithful to it and be faithful with it. And you don't need anybody's approval. And sometimes anointed people are looking for somebody to approve them, somebody to usher me in, somebody to people to look to me before it's validated. The anointing is self-validating. You don't need anybody to validate what God has done in your life. That's just the old dead tradition. It's just old dead tradition. Now, good people do it. Good pastors lay hands on younger pastors and ordain them in the ministry. That's fine. But you can't always have that. And it's not necessary for you to do the will of God. Now, and people work hard to get people to look to them. But the best way to do this, do what God say do. Don't worry about all the fanfare. Learn everything the Holy Spirit, pay attention to the Holy Spirit, learn everything He's guiding you and teaching you to do. Because sometimes the vision that He has for you to do has never, ever been done in your area, and sometimes in the whole world. And people do not like change. They like things that they're used to. They like things they can control. And that's why there's so many religions. Man, he wants a religion that he can control. But if you're a Christian and you want to do, and you're doing it God's way, God has your blank check. You've written Him a blank check, and you say, Lord, take my life and do what you will with it. And whatever He give you to do, you respond in faithfulness, like the man that received the 5 talents and the man that received the 2 talents. See, the man that received the 5 talents, he was more industrious than the man that received 2. Whatever you receive, even if you get a 0.5 talent or 1 talent, be very faithful with what God has given. Because you will increase, you will learn how to be abased, you will learn how to abound, and whatever you need from the Holy Spirit, He will guide you to it. And you have to pay attention to Him. And He'll show you things that's out there so that you can follow Him. Now, there were times that it took years for me to learn some of the things that I learned. Before, I spent time with one church and I had a chance to dialogue with the people more, because I taught Sunday school and I gave a lot of word according to the guidance of God. And the people still did what the pastor did. He had a heavy influence on them. Instead of learning how to follow God, they followed that pastor. And I saw something, and I said, and I used to think that, hey, if people heard the message I'm giving, they'll change. There are very few people that will overlook their pastor and look unto Jesus. And I don't even like to say that, but that's true. Because Paul put it this way. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. And the word also says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Now, the people that they were talking to, they had pastors. But it didn't say look to the pastor. It said looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. It didn't say look to the apostles. It says looking unto Jesus. And what did the apostles do? They pointed people to Jesus. And they taught them about the Holy Spirit. And they taught them how to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Because the apostles were not always there. And they set up pastors to help train them. And they trained them to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith, and receive guidance by the Holy Spirit. But when the first apostles died, then you had people that come up. They want people to follow them and not God. Just like Lucifer wanted everybody to follow him and not God. Peter warned of this, and Paul warned of it. That when they died, that there would be false prophets would arise, false teachers would arise, and sometimes from you, from the very people they were talking to, some of you are going to rise up. When we're gone, and there were people in the congregation that did rise up, and they led the people out to themselves. And John ran into it with Diotrephes in St. John chapter, I think it was. It was 2 John or 3 John. He talked about Diotrephes. Diotrephes didn't want the apostles around. He worked wickedness. And now many pastors, they don't really want people looking to Jesus. They want them to look to them so that they'll do what they want them to do. Good and bad. And then there are Christians that think that's the way it should be, because that's all they ever see. And it's all wrong. And I'm teaching people, follow the Lord. The Lord will guide you. He will show you what He needs you to do. He will lead you beyond the will of man. See, vision is what we've received. Our vision has, it can be limited. You see, you're used to people getting saved, and then you're used to people growing in the Lord, and you're used to people doing their ministry a certain way. All right. Every anointing is totally different and unique, even though it's part of one work. Those that are doing the one work of God, they're doing many parts to make that one work possible. And it requires you operating in the anointing that you have. Sometimes people have prospered beyond their wildest dreams, but they don't understand that that's the anointing of God. They were anointed to fulfill a need that required them to abound. And I noticed that when they teach people as if they can do the same thing. All right? If you give, it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That is a true principle. But if you're anointed to do a specific thing, wherever that thing is, it's going to happen. And God will cause people to give to you so you can do this great work. But a lot of work, it will be done on your part. It requires a lot of faith. And if people give into a ministry and you got it and you do it wrong, you know how much trouble you'll be in? Because they're going to pray and say, Lord, I tried to help him and he wasted it. He lavished himself. You have to receive the protocol that the Lord is giving you. With God, there's no limit to how much he can bless you. And if you give, it'll be given to you. And you'll have to be rewarded for the millions of people that whose lives you touch because of the laws of sowing and reaping. And you can receive millions and billions, but what will you... If I received that kind of money and assets, I would be saying, now this is just me. Lord, what is your plan for this? I'll write God a bigger blank check. Whatever you want to do, that's what we're going to do with this. I would be afraid to lavish myself. And the church is not won yet. I would really go before the Lord and, okay, Lord, you blessed me with billions. Now what do I do? What is your plan? I wouldn't do like the rich young ruler and walk away sorrowful. I would obey him with that money. But people do what they want to do, and it's not really my business what they do. And I don't care when people get blessed. That's just the handiwork of God. You're supposed to be blessed. You serve a God who is blessed. God is richer than anybody could ever imagine. But he also worked more than anybody. In order to follow him, you're going to have to learn things that you may not know right now. But the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth so that you don't have to make the same mistake that others have made. And don't be afraid of making mistakes, because you're definitely going to make mistakes. But it's what you do when you realize it. And I never had... the Lord, my ministry didn't need that kind of money, so he never gave it to me. So I really don't know what to do with it when he bring me to that point, I'll deal with it. and if he don't, that's fine. Whatever I have, my goal is to be thoroughly faithful with it. And I believe God for things that I want, because you have to be able to receive rewards. You have to be able to receive from the Lord. And I ask him for things that I need, situations that I want to happen, and I believe him for it. And he blesses me. And he will bless you too. But I will not disobey the Holy Spirit. That's one of my confessions. I will do all that's in his heart, writing him a blank check. And I'm not afraid that he'll tell me to give it all away, because I really don't care. As long as he's with me, I will recover. But whatever he give me to do, he give me instructions. And as I obey those instructions, it all works out. And I have made money, more money than I thought I would at times. And I was able to do more than what I was used to, pay some things that I wanted to pay, buy some things I wanted to buy. And I saw the good handiwork of God. And I've been in situations after that where I needed a lot of money. So I know that He's alive and He's with me and He'll be with me. I can do whatever He said I can do. And that's important. You have to pay attention to what the protocol requires. In Jeremiah chapter 1, the Lord, even throughout all of Jeremiah, the Lord would give Jeremiah things for him to do. And the Lord would tell him how to do it. Same thing with Isaiah. He once told Isaiah to walk naked and barefoot to show the Ethiopians and the Egyptians what would happen. He asked Ezekiel to lay on his side for so many days, 40 days, I think, and lay on his other side so many days. Now, and this was to show them that they were going into captivity. Whatever he gave them to do, they did it and it worked. It solved the purpose that God had. Because your anointing does more than what a normal man can do. And what God gives you to do serves a greater purpose. And you can provoke people to grow in their vision as you obey God in their sight. Things that they thought were not possible, they'll see it happening with their own eyes. My pastor, when he first got out of, when he first graduated Rhema, he was at a meeting, and the man was, he had a healer. He was laying hands on the sick. And he saw a man's leg that was shorter than the other one grow out. It grew so many inches, and it was perfectly even with the other leg. And Kenneth Hagin witnessed a man that he had a severed spine from a hunting accident. The gun shot him in the spine, broke, and it severed his spine. He didn't walk for years. Said he had small spaghetti legs. And the Lord connected his spine back. And he had activity in his limbs. And he walked around wobbling all over the church. And the ushers were going to get him a chair. He said, no, don't give him a chair. Let him walk. And because he had to get used to that miracle that he had. Well, things that people thought are not possible. That whole church was there, and they were. It was an atmosphere of praise, and now they saw a miracle. So, what happens to their vision? You see a man's leg grow out, or you see a man with a severed spine get healed, and the evidence is his legs. His legs haven't been used for 20 years, and now he's walking. Defied everybody's opinion of what's possible. There are people that have never seen such miracles. But you have to go where the miracles are to see them. There are people who are anointed. And if you go to the camp meetings and the tent meetings and places where there's an atmosphere of praise, and you believe you're in faith, you're going to see the handiwork of God. And you're going to learn how to abound. If all you see is Christians dying, it's going to be harder for you to believe that God still heals. If everybody in the church, if the church having a funeral every other month, you're used to death. What happens to your vision? It's gone. If that's all you see, that's what you'll expect. Just like when the Ethiopians and the Egyptians saw Isaiah walking naked and barefoot, they expected he was doing that against what was going to happen to them. In Isaiah, you have to read Isaiah 18 through 20 to get the full story. But when he did that, they knew that they were going into captivity. That's why he did. When they asked him, why are you walking naked and barefoot? Because you're going into captivity, the Egyptians and the Ethiopians. And when he prophesied to them, they saw, they couldn't forget that they saw Isaiah walking naked and barefoot. And so what happened? They talked about it. And then they got in fear. When it happened to the Egyptians, then the Ethiopians said, well, we're next. And they knew that the king of Babylon was coming. And he ended up coming. And then, you know, I think it was in Isaiah's time, it was the Assyrians. But the day came that they went into captivity. Now, vision is very important, because the way you see things, it becomes, that's your right now expectation. But when you train in the Word of God and you receive things from the Holy Spirit, then what happens after that is your vision increases. And now that your vision is increased, you can cooperate with the Word of God. And when that happens, God can move in your life. He can bring you to where He needs you to be. And He can use your anointing to win other souls. See, we grow from glory to glory. Every time we grow, our vision increases. And then as we live and people watch our lives and how God uses their vision increases. Because we defy their opinions, their worldly opinions, that is, by doing the wonderful works of God in their sight. Proving that God still honors faith to those who believe His word. Now, we're out of time, but the Lord is not, and He will continue to teach you, train you, take you wherever you need to be, and do a mighty work in you. And I believe that. And I thank God for it. Till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.